This continuation, but I changed the title. Okay, oh yes, children, you may go. It will be a lot more quiet here. All right, children, you may go. And it is with that same theme, I think it was keep on moving. But today, this title fits better for this sermon. It's breaking new ground, okay? Breaking new ground. And the passage is from Isaiah chapter 43, verse 18 to 19. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 18 to 19. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. And God's people said, amen. Now, I feel that this is a challenge that God is giving you and I. God is saying to us, forget the former things. See the new thing that God is doing, that God wants to do in your life. You know, this passage, I wish God said, I will do this new thing, you know, when you are feeling strong, when you are healthy, when everything's working out. But it doesn't say that in this passage. And what God says here in this passage, most will not like it. Because God says in this passage, he's going to do the new thing. But he says here, I am making a way in the wilderness. Okay? In the wilderness, to break new ground, to walk in the new thing that God is doing, right, you and I must go through the wilderness. Right? Go through the wilderness. And so my challenge, let's not waste the wilderness that you and I are going through right now. Don't waste it. Right? Let's learn from the wilderness journey. Let's grow from it. Let's mature from it. Let's be transformed from it. Amen? You know, this passage asks us, do you see it? Okay? Do you perceive it? This wilderness journey happens because God wants to do something new in you. Okay? When God's people came out of Egypt, okay, it would have been so much easier to go from Egypt to the promised land. Right? I was just, here's to Egypt, and you just step into the promised land. That would have been so much easier. See, the land of Egypt for God's people was bondage. And the promised land was a land where there's new identity, okay, freedom, breakthrough, and victory. And instead of skipping the messiness of the wilderness, God made his people go through the wilderness. Why? Wilderness prepare us for the new ground. Okay, did you hear me? Wilderness prepare you for the new ground that God has for you. The new thing that God wants to do in your life. But we need to go through the wilderness. So I want to talk about three wilderness we have to pass through. Okay, we're going to have to pass this test. Three wilderness that we have to pass through. Number one is wilderness of selfishness. Okay, wilderness of selfishness. James chapter 4, verse 1 through 3 says this. What causes fight and quarrel among you? Don't they come from your desire that battles within you? Okay? You desire but do not have, so you kill. You covet but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. Okay? You're stuck, right? Why? I believe this passage is talking about selfishness. Okay, now, selfishness is not a personality trait, but this passage says it's something that battles within you. Okay? There's different kinds of battle. Okay? There's the spiritual battle, okay, that's between Christian versus the demonic. That's the spiritual battle, right? But there's another battle that happens within us. The battle between the old nature and the new nature. Okay? The new nature is the work of Christ in us. The old nature, what is that? Wants to stay in selfishness. Okay? It wants to stay in the wilderness. Selfishness, okay, is a sin. It's not a personality trait. It's a sin. It is a sin that battles within all of us. Okay? All of us. Even Apostle Paul, he struggled with it. The greatest Christian that ever lived, the greatest missionary, in my opinion, that ever lived, he too had to fight the sinful nature. He had to battle selfishness. Right? And in Romans chapter 7, we see this, verse 15 to 20. What I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is a sin living in me. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do. This I keep on doing. Now I do what I do not want to do. It is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. See, selfishness is a sin that we struggle with. Okay? And the Bible says it is the sin of selfishness that causes fight and quarrels. Selfishness makes you go away from God's will, you know, because when you ask for God, when there's selfishness, you don't get. Because you're not really seeking God's will. Selfishness makes you go away from God's will to do your own will. And this is kind of my definition of selfishness. Selfishness makes an idol of yourself. Okay? Selfishness makes an idol of yourself. And this passage says it's selfishness that breaks relationship. That destroys relationship. See, when we live for God and others, there's peace. Relationship becomes stronger and deeper. Think about this. Okay, I don't see any in this church, but outside of this church, think about somebody who's very selfish. Think about that person who's very selfish. What do you notice? They don't have deep relationships. They don't have deep relationship. When I live for myself, I push people away. When I live for others, I build relationship. If selfish, okay, you might be able to make a lot of money. You could succeed in terms of the world, but you will not be happy. Okay? You will not be happy. You have to have deep relationship to enjoy life. You can have money, a big house, a good job. And I said this over and over again, but if you are selfish, relationship will stink. And if your relationship stinks, life stinks. Okay? Another problem with selfishness is selfishness makes you stuck in the old. Okay? It makes you stuck in the old. What am I talking about? I have seen God do miracle in people's lives. I have seen God heal the brokenhearted. I have seen God deliver people from demonic stronghold. I have seen God restore relationships. I ministered to people with brokenness, abuse, trauma, abandonment, rejection. And I saw God do a miracle in them. God healed, God redeemed, God transformed their life. God gave them new ground. Okay, new ground. But I see this time and time again, but those who do not change, those who stay in the old, they remain selfish. They remain in the wilderness. It doesn't matter how much you teach them, how much you share the truth, how much you counsel, or even, believe it or not, how much you pray for them. They continue to lose the battle within them with the sin of selfishness. When you lose the battle with the sin of selfishness, you will not get out of the wilderness. See, when I embrace selfishness, I see this in my own heart. I can't go too wrong direction in the wilderness. That will make me lost in the wilderness. That will make me stuck in the wilderness. You know, see, selfishness makes you go two different directions. One is low self-esteem or pride. Okay? Why do I say that? See, low self-esteem, what is it? It says, this is what low self-esteem, the voice of low self-esteem. I'm a mistake. I am junk. Why was I ever born? Why is that selfishness? Because it's I. Okay? What about pride? Oh, I'm better than you. Okay? I'm smarter than you. I'm more talented than you. Why is that selfishness? I. And low self-esteem and pride comes out of an excessive focus on self. Another word to me, selfish. Low self-esteem and pride is on the same plane, right? But on the opposite side. I want to illustrate this. I think I did a long time ago. Say this person is walking into a room with a lot of people. Okay, if you have low self-esteem, you think, oh, are people thinking about me? Right? Low self-esteem. Is people thinking about me? Okay, if you have pride, okay, you walk into the same room. Hey, is people thinking about me? Same thing. Me. It is an excessive focus on self. Now, Jesus is God. He's one person. Give me all your attention, right? Because he's God. Right? But the focus was not on himself. But the Bible says Jesus is humble, not proud, not low self-esteem. But Jesus is humble. Humility is not low self-esteem or pride. Jesus is God, but what did he do? Yet he didn't think about himself. Hello? Okay? He did not think about himself, but others. Jesus died for you. Jesus saved you. Jesus gives you new life. Second wilderness, okay, we're going to have to journey through. It's the wilderness of the world. Wilderness of the world. When we say world, we're not talking about the people in the world. The Bible says God so loved the world, meaning the people of the world. I'm talking about worldly values, and we're being hit with it everywhere. The worldly value and philosophy that is hostile to God. And what does the Bible say about worldly value? 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 19. For the wisdom of this world, okay, is foolishness in God's sight. Okay? You want to come up? For the wisdom of the world, okay? Run faster, Mom. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight. God's sight. Okay? Worldly value says this: live for yourself, live for pleasure, live for material things. Don't care about anybody else, just care about yourself. Okay? Here's the problem with worldly value. Worldly value feeds your sin of selfishness. Okay? Worldly value feeds it. Will strengthen will strengthen your sinful selfishness. If you listen to the world, you will never be content. You see, what happens is you get what you want. You're happy for a moment. It happens all the time. You get what you want. You're happy for a moment. And the happiness wears out. But soon, you feel discontent. You need more. You need more. $100 million is not enough. I don't know. I just want, anyway. You get 100 million, you need 500 million. You get 500, you need a billion. If you got a billion, you need 30 billion. You're not content. If you listen to the world, here's another problem. You compare what you have to people that have more. You compare your bodies with other people. You know, we got many men getting older. We don't. As you get older, this is what's going to happen. You don't compare athletic ability anymore, how fast you run, how far you jump, how many pull-up you could do. You don't do that anymore. But we compare how much hair the other guys have. I compare, you know, the whiteness of my hair. When you listen to the world, you compare yourself on social media, how many likes, how many followers. But here's the problem. The list goes on and on and on. You compare salaries. You compare different marriages, how many friends that the other person have, how big the house is, what kind of car the other person drive, what kind of vacation your friends went on. You keep comparing. Embracing worldly value makes you forget who you are in Christ as a Christian. Because if your identity is in material thing and what you have, you will say. You might not say it, but this is what you are believing and thinking. You will say, Christ is not enough. Okay? Christ is not enough. My identity is the clothes that I wear. My identity is in the bag that I carry. My identity is in the car that I drive. This custom-made suit, is who I am. This custom-made suit that I wear makes me feel secure. It makes me confident. When you believe your life is based on what you have, you will be stuck in the wilderness. It will be a life of frustration, stress. You'll complain a lot. You'll be discontent. And you'll be disappointed. When you know who you are, when you know your identity, you're able to move out of the wilderness. See, Christians, your identity is in Jesus. Okay, what does that mean? You're forgiven in Christ. There's no condemnation in Christ. You have eternal life in Christ. Greater is he that is in you than the one in the world. You're completely accepted in Christ. You're valuable in Christ. Amen? Third point. We're going to have to journey through this third journey, wilderness journey, wilderness of darkness. Wilderness of darkness. John chapter 10, verse 10. Jesus says this, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." Jesus says the thief, and what is Jesus talking about? Jesus is talking about the devil. And the devil comes to make you stuck in the wilderness, to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come to give you new life. I have come to give you new grounds. I have come to do new things in you. Okay? And so the devil comes to keep you from the new thing that God wants to do in your life. And the Bible describes the devil as a great dragon. So he's very destructive, terrifying. Okay? Another description of the devil in the Bible is a snake. The devil's very sneaky, slippery, and slimy. It's hiding in holes. You know, when I was in Africa, snakes were able to sneak into the house without anyone knowing it. Anyone knowing it. The Bible describes the devil as a roaring lion that's looking for somebody to devour. The Bible says the devil is a murderer and a liar, not just any ordinary liar, the father of lies. That's the devil. And so you got to understand, in the wilderness, the devil tempts Jesus. Okay? In the wilderness. He was in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. And it's not just, you know, those few times, but one passage I believe says every day the devil came and tempted Jesus. So the devil tried to stop Jesus from redeeming the world. If the devil had no problem tempting the Son of God, if the devil had no problem attacking Jesus in the wilderness, the devil has no problem tempting and attacking you in the wilderness. In the wilderness, the devil will attack your weakness, your insecurities, your pride, your brokenness, to keep you in bondage, to steal, to lie, and to destroy. The name Satan, means to resist. Satan comes to resist God's purpose and resist God's people. Comes to hinder. He comes to put an obstacle in your life. The name devil, okay, means to accuse. So the devil comes to slander, to condemn, to defile, to shame. The devil accuses you night and day. See, the enemy, the demonic, will attack you in the wilderness to stop you, to tempt you, to keep you in bondage, to make you stuck and lost. But what did the Bible say? The devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but I have come to give you life. In the wilderness, God uses the wilderness to prepare you. To prepare you. In God's plan, the wilderness is not to keep you in bondage, but a way to grow and to mature you. In your personal wilderness, you need to hear the voice of God. Like when I'm in the wilderness more and more, I don't go, okay, what do I do? What do I do? What do I need to do? What do I need to do? I don't do that anymore. I sit and wait, and he always asks me this question. Do you love me? Okay? If you see God, see, God's not afraid of your weakness and your failure. And God is asking you, me, when I'm in the wilderness, can you trust me? Can you depend on me? Can you seek me? Can you believe in me? See, in the wilderness, there is a struggle with your old nature. And I mean, we got a lot against us, okay? I'm not saying it's going to be easy. We got a lot against us. We got our old nature, okay? There's a struggle with worldly value. There's a struggle with spiritual battle. And my challenge to Cal, let's listen to what God says, okay? The first passage, what did God say? I am making a way in the wilderness. Okay? I am making a way in the wilderness. So in your personal wilderness, you want to proclaim this. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. For I know, this is, hear the word of the Lord. Okay? For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. He wants to give you new grounds. This is the truth. No matter what the problem, no matter how you're being attacked, no matter how weak you feel, no matter how hopeless the situation, God is not out to harm you. But his plan is to prosper you. This truth, okay, makes me hold on to the Lord as I pass through my personal wilderness. You know, we believe God uses us and he wants to bless us when everything's going okay, when there's success, when we're healthy. And we have faith during that time when we're strong. But when we're passing through the wilderness, we tend to lose faith. Okay? But this is so important for all of us, for you and me. When we are passing through the wilderness, faith is the most important thing to hold on to. You cannot let that go. Faith is the most important thing to hold on to. Because wilderness is very dark. You're going to hear many different voices, many lies. Faith is the most important thing to hold on to when you go through the wilderness. God is not just with you when there are, you know, people are happy, when there's great worship, and when you're inspired. God is with you when you pass through your personal wilderness, when you are weak, when the world and the devil seem so strong. God will do the greatest miracle in you, okay? In the wilderness. This is God's promise. The old is gone, the new is here. That you are the new wineskin to hold the new wine. This is God's promise for you and me. Together, we're going to break new ground. And God's people said, amen. Let's pray.